This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
See what we got rolling on the... Okay. I preloaded a lot of these. And it's been so long since I've gotten to be with you guys that I forgot what each of the sounds on my sound pad goes to. So we're here, and we're listening to some techno type of beat here that I picked some time ago. Got a latte, and we're going to try and get into it today. Ooh, that's good, baby. Episode 50, The Dupree Show. As some might call it these days. I'm getting pulled on. You see this shit? Okay, we're good. Where'd that damn cord go into, huh? I got this intricate little setup here. Sorry about that. Okay. And, you know, that's how we're going to start it off here today. Yeah, what's going on, y'all? I've been doing a lot of stuff, good stuff. Some other types of stuff, you know, but I'm happy to be back with you guys for episode 50 of The Dupree Show. What's been going on, man? I mean, I'll tell you this. I went to El Paso, Texas this weekend. Very Mexican. Very Mexican. I feel Puerto Rican with this hair. You know what I mean? No, it was cool, man. You know, one of the boys getting married, recognizing their relationship status in the eyes of God and the government. You know, it's a beautiful thing. But above all, man, I think I like weddings because it gives you a chance to reconnect with old friends, people you care about but you might not get to see on a regular basis. I mean, I moved out to Phoenix 4 years ago. Phoenix is about 1,700 miles from everybody I've spent time with for my entire time on this earth. And so I might be speaking for myself here. I'm sure there's other people out there like me that kind of moved pretty far away from all the places they've ever known. But I like weddings because it's a good opportunity to see people that might have fallen through the cracks, folks that you probably should be calling at least quarterly, but it doesn't always work out that way unless you got some kind of personal CRM, you know what I mean? Personal customer relationship management. That'd be a hell of a product. I'm sure there's stuff out there. I'm sure there's an app that you could download and put in your friends and make sure that it sends you a little ping when it's time to give them a call again. You know, maybe I should do that. damn, that coffee's good. But yeah, man, you know, like, I seen a clip of Dana White talking about when he was building the UFC. He was like, I don't go to weddings. You know, I don't go to weddings. I don't have time. It's not important. And, like, I get that sentiment. I do. Because some people might see weddings as more of a, maybe a bit of a construct. You know, and I'm just thinking about it on all sides here. I'm not saying stuff about getting married, you know. But what I am saying is that, you know, there's definitely people out there that probably don't see weddings the same way that everybody else sees them. I think it's an incredible opportunity to see people that might not be, you might not be around as regularly. And it's also cool to be around, like, for instance, this wedding in El Paso I went to is a fraternity brother, a former fraternity brother. And all the other guys obviously showed up. So it's not just a good opportunity to see, like, singular people, but it's a good opportunity to hang around with the boys as a group again. You know, I feel like in adult life that kind of gets a little lost in translation. It's like, you know, it's one thing to hang out with an old brother one-on-one, and that's great too. It's a different thing to hang out with the whole squad again and hit the town. And we went out in El Paso, Texas. And let me tell you, man, that's an interesting damn place. Even walking around there on a, I had never been there before, even walking around there on a Sunday, you know, the day after the wedding, after everyone had kind of flown out, I drove from Phoenix. And so I kind of, it was nice, man. I kind of just, I talked about flying on the last episode, how it kind of stressed me out. And this trip reiterated to me that, at least in my experience, good take from Dupe. Because I woke up on a Sunday morning, little hung, you know what I mean, in the hotel room. I slept as long as I wanted. I slept until, like, we stayed out, man, until 3, 4 a.m., kind of hate doing that, if I'm being real. But I was with the boys, right? And that's good enough for me. Slept until 10 a.m., 11 a.m. on a Sunday. I wake up in basically Mexico, you know? And, man, I hit my meditation. I hit my journal. I think I did. Maybe I'm a liar. I don't know. But, you know, like, walk down to the local Java house, had a little latte, little turkey sandwich. I pulled up to this damn coffee shop, man. Like, it was like, you know, I rolled out of bed in the hotel, just shucking and jiving, you know. Nobody else from the boys were pretty much, nobody was around anymore at that point. So it was just your boy and the Tex-Mex soil. So I go down there, I walk down to the coffee shop. It was about a 6-minute drive, and man, it, I don't know if everybody was at church. I don't know if the town is.
You've finally broken loose from work. 3 friends, 1 tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up. even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Always like this, but I was walking around in broad daylight in that town and felt like I might need a strap. You know what I mean? Like, there's something kind of cool about it. Like, you're walking down the sidewalk, you look down an alleyway, and you know that there might be some kind of Hispanic or white tweaker just hidden in the woodwork down there somewhere, hoping you come down there in his alley. You know what I mean? There's graffiti everywhere, a lot of vacant buildings, stuff boarded up, and that's got graffiti on it. And it was kind of like I'm walking around on a Sunday morning in broad daylight in this town thinking, damn, like, it's so damn quiet that somebody could pop out and kind of try and give me the business. You know what I mean? So it was kind of a cool, exhilarating little feeling. I hadn't felt that for some time, you know, because I've lived in cities for so long. But this was a city. It just wasn't very vast in terms of the foot traffic. And so I walk into this coffee shop, and I said, you know, I'm pretty hungry. Like, what do you got for food? And she said, well, we tend to have more healthy food. And I was like, that's great. Awesome. Like, health conscious in Texas. We already got us a point. You know what I mean? I said, that's great. So, like, if I'm really hungry, you know, what should I get? She's like, well, the turkey sandwich is normally, you know, what hungry people get. I was like, done. I trust you. And right after she said, we serve healthy food, you know, and then I ordered the sandwich. She goes, okay, you get a bag of chips with that. So they're right there, and you can pick whatever. We got Sun Chips. And I was like, oh, Sun Chips. They got I didn't ask her this. But I was thinking in real time, I was like, they got that damn canola oil in those Sun Chips, don't they? You guys are healthy, right? You bet your ass I ate those damn Sun Chips, though. Stuffed my face with canola oil, motor oil, whatever the hell that thing is. Is like, but it's like, dude, let's kind of address the details here. You know what I mean? Say you're healthy, and it ain't the barista's fault, you know, that they're serving Sun Chips. But now I'm thinking about who owns this joint. Do they tell the baristas to tell people that they're healthy? So what? And if they do, why is serving Sun Chips cooked in motor oil? Why are you doing that? You know, but it's like I said, you know, you're in a place where, you know, like, a lot of the spaces are not occupied, maybe not a ton of foot traffic, and you could kind of maybe get away with telling people that. And even if, you know, they're thinking about it like I did, they do what I did, which is still give them the business. Still hand over the credit card. And that's what I did. And I ate, and the sandwich was tasty, but I'm talking like less than, you know, she told me, if you're hungry, get this. And the sandwich comes out, and it was damn. It was thinner than a slice of paper, that turkey. I needed some protein, you know, I was getting ready to be a road dog. And I ate the sandwich, and you know, I went on my way, hit the road, and then I kind of just fasted for 6 hours. Finally, stopped at a Rudy's Texas Barbecue, and you know, about 5 or 6 hours later, and I just loaded up with brisket, dude. I loaded up with jalapeno sausage. I loaded up on the beans. I got some tater salad. You know I got a sweet tea with lemon and some banana pudding. And it was $40, but it was an incredible meal. I would have spent the same. I'd spend the same amount of money on that meal in the same context again and again and again. So yeah, I mean, that's what's kind of been going on my end. I heard that a Delta airplane crashed on the runway in Toronto, and it looked like there was snow on the floor. You know, maybe it was a slippery little you know what I mean, like landing. But it's kind of making the rounds on X. So let's take a look at what happened.
Tower, you're seeing this airplane just crash into 3. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Okay, so the good thing about this was that nobody died. I don't even think anybody got injured on this Delta flight that crashed on the runway. But we've been seeing a lot of this lately, haven't we? We've been seeing a lot of, like, that American flight that everybody died. You collided in midair. And then I think there's one other thing that happened recently with a plane that I'm not really recalling right now, but people were talking about this on X today. People were talking about this. And so I did some research. I go into Grok on X, which I normally think is a very reliable source, right? And I asked it. I said, who was the pilot for this Delta flight in Toronto? And it comes back and it says, Jonathan, what the hell did it tell me? Jonathan Simpson. and so I was like, okay. And I Googled Jonathan Simpson. And there was no Jonathan Simpson. It was a prank. Somebody, and I'll show it on the screen here now. This is what, look, I Google this. Jonathan Simpson Delta. Hunky vibe.
You've finally broken loose from work. 3 friends, 1 tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
I was like, what the fuck? What? I didn't Google that shit. It was, this is a kid's show. You know what I mean? I gotta figure out how I deliver this here. If you look at the pictures down on the bottom part of the screen, I hope it's still on the screen. Somebody made an AI generated thing, picture of a controversial figure. And I guess Grok thinks that that's actually who the pilot was. But long story short, it looks like the identity of the pilot has not been revealed yet. But somebody said that this video was pinned on Delta Airlines TikTok. Let's take a look.
Did somebody say slave?
Yeah. So that's what we could be working with in terms of whoever was landing this plane. I also know that the requirement for pilot hours was lowered at some point recently. I think it used to be that you had to spend 10,000 hours in the air to get your pilot's license. And now it's like 1,500. So, I mean, that might be part of what we got going on in the air. I don't know. A lot of people were making jokes that, you know, someone of a certain demographic was flying that plane and responsible for the crash. I'm just trying to come with the facts. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to come with the facts, F-A-X. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think, man. I knew I was going to open with that. I mean, we got some clips of the week. Obviously, Super Bowl happened a long time ago. We've got a clip from that. But, you know, it was... I'll say this about the Super Bowl. And then, you know, I know it's kind of old news and... not going to spend a lot of time talking about it because that time's passed. But it was really, really heartwarming in the Super Bowl to see a defensive front like Philadelphia's play that way. They were fast. They were violent with their hands. And they got home. They didn't send a single blitz. And what I mean by that is, in a normal defense, you got four down linemen. A blitz is considered if you bring an extra guy to try and sack the quarterback outside of those four down linemen. The Philadelphia Eagles did not send a single blitz all game. They had six sacks with their four down guys. It was impressive as hell, man. You don't see violent football like that very often anymore because these offenses, they're so spread out. They're getting it out quick. The safeties are rumbling down, trying to fill in space. And a lot of times in space, you know, you can try and play violent, but a lot of times when you're in space, especially when you got high-level playmakers toting the football, it's hard to come down and really be violent. There aren't a lot of players anymore like Sean Taylor used to be able to do and Ed Reed. But with that being said, I think there are players of that caliber. I think the rules, the targeting rules, the unnecessary roughness, all these kind of subjective penalties that are part of the game, I think that inhibits talented guys from playing as violently as they can on the defensive side of the ball in pro football. So it was heartwarming to see the Eagles front four play with that level of aggression. It was like a refresher, kind of fitting that that's the last season of the game. Not fitting, but a good thing because maybe that'll set the tone for the coming seasons. I talk with my fighter buddies a lot about something called teach tape. Whenever my buddy's got a fight coming up, I tell him, hey, look, you're gonna get you some, whatever happens in this fight, you're gonna get you some teach tape. And they're like, what's Teach Tape? One of my buddies, David, he was like, is Teach Tape, like, he's a young guy, so he you know, uses all the slang. And he's like, is Teach Tape like dad lore? And I was like, yes. Yes, it is. He's like, is that dad lore? And I, you know, it was kind of cool that I understood what he was asking. I was like, yes, it is. It's film that's so good from an athletic performance, from a game, you know, from a rep you had in a game. It's so good that the coach is going to hold on to that, the footage of that rep, and show the younger guys and say, this is how you're supposed to play in this, whatever the context is. It's Teach Tape. This is what you do. And so I think the Eagles, I mean, they had a master class with a lot of Teach Tape, the Eagles front four did. Because here's the thing, the Chiefs, they held Saquon down pretty good. Saquon didn't run rampant on them. The Chiefs defense did a great job. Spagnuolo, he made a great game plan, all this stuff. But it was just suffocating for Patrick Mahomes not being able to function as he normally does because that Eagles front four was playing with such violence, you know. So that's all I'll say about that. I will say this, and this is something football related that's you know, kind of going on right now. There's a lot of talk about how the Bengals are going to address the contract situation with T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Trey Hendrickson. This is arguably, I won't even say arguably, this is definitively the most important offseason in the history of the Cincinnati Bengals franchise. This is not just going to define next season. This is going to define the next 5-10 years of this franchise, how the Brown family chooses to set the tone, and the public pressure has never been higher, and it makes my heart happy because Joe Burrow made his rounds Super Bowl week, and all he talked about was, we got to get this done. We got to get this done. I'm willing to do whatever. They're willing to do whatever to get this done. And so what that does is that creates drastic accountability on the side of the Bengals front office. Because as the players, you face the media, you say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get it done, and it doesn't get done. Whose fault is that? Not the players. And who knows that? Everybody. And so Joe Burrow's doing what he's supposed to do, which is be a goddamn leader, brother. He's being a damn leader. He's dragging this franchise on his back. It's like the strongest man in the cavalry dragging the weakest man who just got smoked off of the battlefield, but he's still got a fighting chance to live. And so this leader's just trudging, dodging bullets, trudging down the road. That's what Joe Burrow's doing for the Bengals right now, dude. So I think the Bengals have got like $46 million in cap space left. And there's a lot they can do. They can give Ja'Marr Chase a big signing bonus so that it doesn't count as a hit against the cap, and kind of backload the contract so that they can afford him and pay him what he's due. They'll be able... I think what might happen with T. Higgins is a franchise tag for now, for the second year in a row. I hope I'm wrong. I hope to God I'm wrong. Because if we can go ahead and lock him into a long-term deal, that's good for everybody. You know what I mean? And then Hendrickson, he's going to have to be one of the highest paid defensive ends in the league. So how do you clear that up? Well, Joe Burrow's mentioned that he's open to restructuring his deal to create more space for other guys like Trey Hendrickson. I don't know, man. Going into the offseason, I was really, really pessimistic about the Bengals doing what they need to do. Now that a little time has passed, I'm a bit more optimistic, because if you look at it objectively, if you look at the dollar figures, if you look at everything we just addressed, with everybody's situation and how we can fix these contract issues. I think it would be really hard for the Bengals to mess this up. Now, if there's any organization that could take a situation like this that is literally the world's kind of in your hands and still mess it up, I'd guess that it would be the Cincinnati Bengals and the Brown family and Mike Brown's daughter, Katie, who like literally looks mentally challenged. If you look at her face, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that, but I did, and I'm not sorry. So it's the most pivotal offseason in the history of the Cincinnati Bengals organization, because how many more years of prime Joe Burrow do we get? Nobody knows the answer to that, but we do know that it's finite. How long will this window be open? We don't know. How long will it be until the Bengals get another player like Burrow? Maybe a long time. You know what I mean? So that's the football side of things that I've got my teeth and claws in right now. Is making sure that the Bengals take care of all these guys, keep everybody together so that we can continue our march toward the first Cincinnati sports, not just football, baseball, not just football, but also baseball. The first Cincinnati sports championship that I've ever seen in my lifetime. The last time the Reds won the World Series, I think, was like 1990, something like that. And the Bengals have never won a Super Bowl. So let's get it fucking done, guys. Let's get it done. You know, let's be serious. You know what I mean? I think T wants to stay in Cincy. I think even if another organization offered him a bunch of bags, that he would still try to make it work in Cincy. That's just my perception of who T Higgins is. I think he likes being on the other side of Jamar. I think he likes catching passes from Burrow. And I still, even with all these guys that the Bengals got to cut deals with, I still think that there will be room to grab some guys off the free agent market, specifically on defense, hopefully on the offensive line. I mean, the offensive line was just atrocious this year. And the free agent market's robust. So I'm hoping that when I think the bell tolls to start making moves, today or tomorrow, and when I say today, I mean like right now as I'm shooting this, not as y'all see this. You know, I'm hoping the Bengals they don't sit around, man. I hope they make a move quick and get it done. You know, but yeah, man, I think that's kind of all I have to say about that. I don't want to beat a dead horse. Let's get into some clips of the week.
Man, y'all boy keep y'all heads up, man. Y'all boy played y'all ass off, man. Keep it
together. Oh, yeah.
Now, I know this isn't the outcome that we had expected.
Hope this ain't copyright.
But you guys shouldn't hang your heads down for nothing. You guys fought your butts off to the very end. We just didn't get it done today. Okay? We were one play away. But you guys should be damn proud of how hard you fought all season to get to this moment. Why were you throwing a ball like that? See? Thank you, man.
The boy's crying.
Because what we've done this season, what we've done, hasn't been done in 37 years, and it's because of you guys. Okay? And I am damn proud to have coached you for the last 4 years. Thank you. You guys have changed the trajectory for the better. I love you, man. We're going to be back, coach. We're going to be back. Freshman, sophomore, juniors. See that taste in your mouth?
Hell yeah.
Doesn't taste good, does it?
No.
Remember that taste all the way into the offseason, into the workouts, and you take that taste with you all the way next season.
I mean,
okay?
That's on
you will,
point.
You can bet your bottom dollar that we'll be back here next year.
That's textbook.
Hey, come on my side, bro. Can I go?
Okay. But you remember that. Work your butts off all offseason, because we don't want to feel this again, do we? And we won't.
Damn. Oh, so there's like a full video. Dang, that's crazy. You got to be careful. Like, I try to be as careful as I can scrubbing, you know, content off the internet, because like you got the music underneath. That could be copyrighted. And then I didn't know this guy had a full YouTube video of this. So, you know, hopefully we ought to keep that on the show. But I mean, the one that struck me most was the dude on the team that never takes anything serious. You know what I mean? I remember one time, man, it was high school. It was Henry Clay High School in Lexington, Kentucky. I can't remember what the exact situation was. I know it was a game. And I think it was before the game. And, okay, yeah. So we're at Henry Clay High School in Lexington, Kentucky. We're getting ready to play. I remember like a pretty important game. And, and our coach, he's an old school dude, you know, played linebacker in the 70s, 80s, you know, like old school. And he walks into the locker room. He said, "Everybody sit in your locker." We're wearing our uniforms, like we're ready to play. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but he was pissed off. And he starts talking, and he finally...
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. "Honey, there's water in the basement." Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
That, you know, I've been catching wind of the way some of you guys talk in the locker room. And I'm sick of it. And we're kind of just like, okay. And he didn't like that some of the dudes on the team were saying the N-word. And he starts like rattling off like variations of it. And our coach, he's a white guy, you know. He starts like rattling off like variations of it. He's like, "I don't want to hear it." And he's ranting about it. And dude, like, I'm looking across at my locker at somebody, one of my boys, and I mean he's fighting. To not burst out laughing. And I see that. And now all of a sudden I'm fighting. And I'm actually facing coach. You know what I'm saying? He was kind of hidden away, safe. You know, facing away from... This is the damnedest thing, man. So, I get it when... You know, it's hard for me because... I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but like... You ever get the urge to laugh in like a really serious situation? And it's not because what's going on is funny. It's because you know that if you laugh in that moment, that like it can change your life type deal. You know? And for that reason, I don't know what it is in my mind or the human mind that makes you want to laugh. Because it's counterintuitive. Like, what's going on isn't even really funny. Like, you know, like if I got a woman that I'm intimate with sitting in front of it, man, maybe I should talk to my damn shrink about this. If I got a woman that I'm like intimate with sitting across from me, and you know how that goes. Sometimes it's a real deal thing. Other times it's just kind of like, okay, why are you crying about this? And if they're sitting across from me crying about something and it's not that serious, I'm going to get the urge to laugh. And there might, I mean, sometimes it's funny, but like, there might not be shit funny with the situation, but there's something in my brain that says, okay, this is serious. You cannot laugh. You cannot laugh. Right side of my brain is going to be like, fuck it. You know what I mean? It's the same thing like when you're sitting in like seventh grade math class and your boy sitting across the class doodles something stupid and he picks it up like real slow so the teacher don't see and shows you across the room and it's a real quiet, serious, you know, calculus type deal. What are you going to do? You're going to sit there fighting that laughter as hard as you can, and that's going to only make you want to laugh harder. You know, so that's kind of what that, I don't know. I kind of went off a little rails there, but what we got next?
Yeah, this year is Ozell Gear. I need to make an appointment.
Appointment?
All right, we can do that. When do you, who do you want to make it with and what date?
Well, let me go. You got just a minute where I can tell you what's going on.
Hell yeah.
I sure do.
All right, look, my old lady done got diagnosed with bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and they done scribed her 750 milligrams of that Latuna.
Oh, yeah.
And she done gone to pulling hair out of her head and pulling shit out of ass and throwing it at the wall. And now I got to get this 5'2", 415-pound woman to the hospital.
Oh, damn.
But I got, when I work up at the cattle sale, I had a couple of tranquilizer darts fit in a 30-06 Springfield rifle. And I wondered if I pop her with one of them, maybe could y'all come out to the house? Because I don't want to be held reliable, you know, in case something happens.
Hell yeah.
Well, honey, we don't do, this is a vet's office, and we don't do house calls.
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. She woke up this morning and done had a dream I was cheating on her. And she burned all my clothes up out in the yard and done sacrificed a goat in the kitchen. And she said it's
for... So who is this really? Because I know this is not a real phone call.
Oh, yes, ma'am. This is a real phone. That's why I'm trying to figure out how to get... I can maybe get her to the veterinarian. Get some tranquilizer put in.
Yeah. I understood everything he said, man. You know? Sometimes you got to damn... You got to shoot somebody with a tranquilizer dart, you know. If you choose to marry an overweight woman, you know, I ain't going to judge you. Everybody's got their preferences. If you choose to marry an overweight woman, and she has a dream that you cheated on her, and she starts... taking your clothes out the dresser, throwing them out on the front lawn, sprinkling them with gasoline, and lighting your clothes on fire for God and everybody to see. And your wife's 400 pounds. I mean, I'm not taking that fight. I don't care how skilled you are. If you got a 400-pound wife, that has a dream that you cheated on her, she starts wanting to burn your clothes out on the front lawn, what do? You got to keep that damn elephant tranquilizer on you, boy. That's what you got to do. Rig a damn 22 rifle up so that it shoots darts. I don't know how to do that. I'm not an expert on guns. I've taken one apart, put it together like twice. And it was a 12-gauge. 12-gauge, too powerful. You know? Like, you don't want to hurt your overweight wife. You just want to put her down for a second so that she's got some time to cool off. You know? I don't know. Like, I wouldn't see myself with a 400-pound woman. But, like, if that was something that I was into... You know, I would keep tranquilizers on deck. Because I'm not taking that fight. You're out of my weight class. I don't care how skilled I am. I'm not going to be able to handle that. if you're coming at me with razor blades and lemon juice. You know what I mean? That's just the way I see it. Ain't no thing, you know? Maybe you could slip, you know, I don't know, man. I'm not going to talk about QB sneaking on this podcast. I like that accent and that voice that guy did. I guess as a comedian, a little prank call. Ain't nothing wrong with that, you know. Yeah, I think that's all I got about that. What we got next?
You trip it. Jen, you got Leo.
I love, I'm pausing that, by the way. I saw it in this video. I heard somebody else say it the other day. When you call somebody or somebody grabs a phone like this guy does, and you say, you got so-and-so. I love that, dude. Zen almost came out of my lip. I love it so much. I love that. You got dude. What's going on? That's personable. Saying you got me, you got my full attention. And it's also like it's very professional. You know what I mean? Like if you don't know how someone's feeling about you, like in this video, you know, it's very professional, it's very straightforward. Hey, you got dupe. What's going on? Yeah?
You trip it.
Yeah. Oh, I can't help you with that. You know Jen, what I mean? Like it's just I like Jen, that. Anyway,
you got starting Leo.
The video back.
Jennifer. Is it me or does it feel like we're constantly fighting for custody? Nah, can he play? I asked you the other day, didn't I? You want me to be like a little kid and knock and say, hey, can he play? Nah, Jennifer, it's getting old, no? You got him all stressed out over here. Let's do this. Can I request some PTO?
Getting old, no?
I just give him some time off. No, mira, fíjate.
Mira.
It's getting old. It's getting old. And I know. I wouldn't expect this from a Sagittarius.
That's fire.
Nah. Why can't I make jokes?
You spitting, okay. Bro.
Okay. So what are we going to do? You don't trust me. Nah, you don't trust me. Why would I take him around other
homes? You think that the girls are going to look at him when he's with me? Jennifer, please make it make sense, Jennifer. Please.
Using bro, I'm the name not scared a lot, too. That's.
I'm not scared. I'm trying. And I know you don't owe me anything. Are you mad at me? Okay, well, we're going to go out. I'll have him home at 11.
Okay, here's the thing. My boy in the clip, he charismatic as hell. You understand? Like, charisma off the charts. I wouldn't expect this from a Sagittarius.
It's fire.
And you're talking to your buddy's girlfriend who's pissing and moaning about the boy playing golf, and dude, you pull that out like, I wouldn't expect this from a Sagittarius. And it helps he's Mexican. It's funnier that way. Like he says it that way. You know what I mean. And then, dude, honestly, bro, honestly, this clip. The more I've watched it, the more I'm kind of thinking like, oh, dude, you can learn some sales and negotiation lessons from that clip. It's not a serious clip, right? It's a sketch. But the use of the, you know, he's trying. So here's a situation, you know, if this gets clipped, here's a situation, right? You're with your boy. Your boy's stressing out because his girlfriend's giving him hell. And you want to play golf with your boy. But you know your boy's girlfriend is going to give him hell and he's stressed out for no reason. Right? And so you grab the phone. And you got Jennifer. All of a sudden, this is a negotiation. You understand? Everything's a negotiation. But in this moment, you might as well be talking to ISIS, who's holding an American hostage. It's the same type of negotiation. And you do things like you use her name a lot. Jennifer, make it make sense, Jennifer. Jennifer, do you trust me? Jennifer, make it make sense, Jennifer. Using the name a lot. Somebody else's name, you learn this in sales. Somebody else's name is music to their ears. I've been doing this on my calls, man, just using their name an offensive amount. You know? It's like, Pat, this is how we're going to do it, Pat. I want to show you exactly how I can help you out right now, Pat. Here's how, Pat. You know what I mean? It's like somebody cannot get enough of their own name. It's just how it goes. So in a sales conversation, you got a lot of negotiation and sales, same thing to me. In a sales conversation, you got a lot of variables that are out of your control. If you got 100 variables in the equation, there's probably way more on a sales negotiation call. If you got 100 variables in the mix, you probably can't control 85 of them. Right? There's 85 different variables that may or may not go your way. But the other 15, you can control. Right? First impression, coming across professional. Okay? Using the prospect's name or the ISIS person's name because it's music to their ears. Don, I just want to show you exactly how we can help you out, Don. Is that fair, Don? You can't overuse somebody's name in a sales conversation. So that's a big thing my boy did, right? Statements that lead somebody into explaining themselves or their situation a little more. Make it make sense, Jennifer. Make it make sense, Jennifer. Right? He didn't lay out all the logical reasons why his boy's lady should let the boy play golf. No, he's asking her, make it make sense, Jennifer. Make it make sense. You know? I mean, and again, you know, the first impression, right? You got Jennifer, you got Leo. You got Leo. That lets her know that, hey, Leo means business. I'm willing to shoot the shit. I'm willing to be your friend. I'm willing to be personable. You got me. Okay? But I'm also going to be professional. I'm going to try and be reasonable. There you go. First impression. I don't know. I think there's just a lot of lessons to be learned from that clip. In terms of sales negotiation, that's where my brain goes, because that's what I'm in the trenches doing. I'm out there trying to convince people every day. Look, I can help manage your investments with a personal touch and research that isn't very common out there anymore. You know what I mean? That's my little plug for the day. You know, so I'm in the trenches and I see a clip like that. You know, I sell every day. I can recognize game when I see it. You know. Okay, what do we got next? Oh yeah, I said this earlier. I just wanted to include this.
I felt like a Spanish, like a Puerto Rican in his hair.
Yeah.
I felt Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican.
Y'all know I love Mr. Puerto Rican.
Oh yeah. No, and then you got you know Trump saying it this way. I was just
also praying,
thinking about
the
it.
People of Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
I love Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know, man. I had that. I just have like random sound bites pop into my head. And the other day, I was like, I feel Puerto Rican. You know, I got Puerto Rican here. You know what I'm saying? I got Puerto Rican. And so when TikTok went down, I thought it was done. Like, I just was like, oh, this is over. Deleted the app from my phone. Didn't think anything of it. And then I was at coffee with my brother the next morning, and he was like, isn't it crazy that TikTok's already back? This was weeks ago. And I was like, it ain't back. It's gone, isn't it? He's like, no. He pulled out his phone, started showing me TikToks. I was like, damn. So I go back to the app store, and it ain't there. And then I find out that it's active, the app. This is all old news, by the way. It's active, the app, TikTok, but you can't download it back on the phone. And then you see all this about people paying 10 bands to get a phone with TikTok on it, 50 bands to get a phone with TikTok on it. What are you doing? What are you doing? Go buy a business. Take that 10 grand and make your life better. You know, I guess some people's happiness is just in scrolling. I don't know. But anyways, all that to say, TikTok came back on the app store. And the first thing I did, because this Puerto Rican soundbite was coming into my head a lot, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And I download TikTok, I go in, sure enough, I find that clip, and my brain was happy. You know, a little dopamine hit. I feel Puerto Rican. I got Puerto Rican here. Yeah, I'm gonna run it one more time.
I felt like a Spanish, like a Puerto Rican in his hair.
Yeah.
I felt Puerto Rican. Y'all know I love me some Puerto Rican.
I love that rooster's piece too, dude. I mean, that's a good piece. Like, it kind of looks like Carlito from WWE. I spit in the face of people who think they're cool. I spit it. Yeah, you know Carlito, he had that kind of same kind of piece, and he would walk around the apple, and if somebody pissed him off, he'd like take a bite out of the apple and spit it in their face. I spit in the face of people who think they're cool. You know, shout out Carlito. He was an electric wrestler too, man. He was fun to watch, and then he'd pull a, you know, he'd whoop someone's ass, and then he'd take the apple and just, you know what I mean? It's just real disrespectful. I really enjoyed that. You know what I mean? But, you know, I feel Puerto Rican. Puerto Rican. All right, what's next? We played that Trump clip. I'm going to have to order that for my editor. All right. This is just a clip from the Super Bowl. Mahomes, Jalen Carter, and I'm trying to prove a point here.
Bro, get smacked right in the face.
And so I'm going to run it back one more time for Luke. Okay.
Bro, get smacked right in the face.
Oh. Okay. So, this is my point. A Chiefs fan posted that on X. That video. And I assume the Chiefs fan that posted it was also the one that recorded this video. Hit right in the face. Go back in the film. If you've got the time, right? Most people don't have the... most people like to go... When they talk about football, most people like to look at stats. And they're stat merchants. And say, well, you know... Well, touchdown passes and QB rating, like all this stuff. So, like, watch the film, okay? Anybody who complained about Jalen Carter's hand to Patrick Mahomes' face in the Super Bowl, I want you to go, and a lot of you might not like this, might not want to do this, I want you to go and watch film of the Bengals at Ravens this year. Go watch the last 2-point conversion of the game. I think there's 3 or 4 more where Burrow's face mask is, his helmet's literally off to the side and his head's in the same place. All no calls. My point being, Chiefs fans, they came to X and they posted this clip and they say, well, if the NFL is so rigged, then why didn't they call this? Go watch any given football game film of the Cincinnati Bengals this year. Watch the pocket. Okay? Watch how Joe Burrow gets these types of calls, or lack thereof. I should say how he doesn't get these type of calls. Go watch. Go watch. Even in Super Bowl week, he was talking to Joe Burrow was talking to Dan Patrick, and he says, Dan Patrick was like, do you think everybody gets preferential? Do you think the Chiefs get preferential calls? You know, even keeled answer, I can't remember exactly what he said, and then he asked him, do you think you get preferential calls? And Joe Burrow was like, hell no. Just go watch. Go watch the film from this year and tell me that Mahomes doesn't get treated differently than Joe Burrow does, at least in terms of unnecessary roughness, targeting. It's like Chiefs fans were really sad about that one play. It's like, literally go watch Bengals film from any given day. Watch the pocket. Watch what happens to Joe Burrow after he throws it most of the time. Anyways, that's the point I was trying to make. Let's get on down the road here. I love this. I saw this clip of Conor McGregor with guns, and it's really, I just like it, you know, so I'm going to show it on the show here.
Yeah, I like these, baby.
I like these, yeah.
Yeah. I watched, what's new about it?
Hold on. For LDK.
Every single one of them cleaned the head. Look at the far one. Did you see me on the neck? See the far one down at the neck? That's a kill shot right there. Two shots to the neck down the back. See
to
that?
The neck.
Look at this fucking thing. Imagine getting a bring it up. Oh, yeah. That's a beautiful gun,
oh,
that is.
That was great.
This fucking thing. This way. Oh, yeah. See you in hell, baby. I go play the Tommy gun. Tommy gun's like that. Can I shoot this?
So what? Prepare for the bounce back?
No.
Back.
To see.
Back in, Jack.
Oh, it's a powerful one. Wow. God bless America. Yeah. God bless America.
Oh, dude. I think it's just ingrained in my brain at this point. Like, when we go over to the gym, man, and we train and, you know, hang out with the boys, like, a lot of times it's just... It's like it's ingrained in all of our brains. Like, oil slap you. You know, it's like you just start talking like Connor when you're talking shit. Like, you know, somebody wants to squabble up. Yeah, oil slap you. Yeah, oil dance on your head. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. Who the fuck is that guy? And then at the end of the clip, he goes, God bless America. Conor McGregor's voice, his voice notes on X, I had a video of that. I should have pulled it up. Probably talked about it on the show before. Or slap you, yeah? Fucking, or he goes, when Conor McGregor says, he goes, fucking pussy of a thing. Keep my name out your mouth, you stupid. Dude, I don't know, man. I don't know. I like it. I like talking like Conor when I get the chance. Shut your fucking mouth. Shut your fucking mouth, mate. I could, you know, yeah. You guys probably turn it off if I keep doing that. Beating a dead horse. All right, what's next? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. You ever, like, I don't know. I think this is probably just a guy thing. But, you know, you got a big day, big meeting. Maybe you got somebody that you're getting ready to close. You're starting to feel a little nervous, feeling a little scared. And so that testosterone kind of kicks in and you're like, do the LeBron thing, you know, like push the, you know, squat. You look in the mirror, you'd be like, you are a man. You are a man. What did he say? What did Connor say? He's like, you are, hold on. Now I gotta, Connor, you are the man. Yeah.
Fresh. You the man. You the man. You are a man.
That's fire.
You are a man. Yeah, dude. I mean, you just gotta, you kind of gotta get yourself, you gotta get yourself right as a man sometimes. And you gotta just squad. What? Bang, bang, bang. Just like something white, like that. You know what I mean? Okay, next deal.
Little bit of sauce like that. Give it a fold and then dip it again.
Yeah, oh, yeah. This one. Get that boy taken care of, baby. He's showing it off.
Feast your eyes on the absolute.
Absolute carnage. Yeah, that guy's Irish too. Dude, I'd love to pull up to a Raising Cane's with an orangutan in the front seat to eat with, to break bread with, to share cane sauce with. You know, I don't normally like to share my cane sauce, but there's an orangutan in the front seat, man, I'll share with him. You know what I mean? I'll let him get a taste. Because he's a good dude, you know? He's not corrupted by higher consciousness. He's not thinking about money or women. Maybe he's thinking about women. But it's like, you know, if I just had a primate companion that wasn't annoying. I saw a video of this girl that had like a bunch of little monkeys, and like she literally has to like cover her coffee as she's making it because they'll go in there and like throw shit in it or whatever. I don't want a monkey like that. I wanted like a chill orangutan. But that's the thing too, is like, if you get a small monkey, they're going to be agile. They're going to be running around on you. They're going to be tossing feces in your food when you ain't looking, because they're so agile, so quick, so small. But then if you get a big boy, and let's say he loses sight of his temper at whatever point, and he's obviously stronger than you, like, what do you do? Got to keep that tranquilizer on deck, baby. I got an orangutan and a 400-pound wife. I got to keep that elephant tranquilizer on deck, homie. Because then you can just, you know, let's say the wife has dreams about you cheating on her, and the orangutan is mad because you didn't take him through the drive-thru Raising Cane's, and they're both pissed off at you, raising hell at the same time. Just trank, trank. Done. You know what I mean? And then they can just kind of wake up and be like, oh man, I was getting out of pocket. You know, I get why you tranked me. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's it, man. That's the last clip. We're at about an hour 7. And this is episode 50. You know, we've been doing this a little longer than a year. We've missed some weeks, so when we get to 52, I guess that'll be a pretty cool deal, because it'll, you know, officially on paper be a year of podcasting, but we're already at about 13 months. We've missed a couple weeks. So anybody that's watching, especially anybody that's watched this long in the episode and stayed with us this long in our journey, really appreciate you. Be a bud and tell a bud about the show. Like, please just hit that like button, you know, hit that subscribe button if we hit it in the chest at any point. And leave a comment. Let us know if there's anything we should be talking about that we ain't covering. Okay. I love y'all. And let's send it off. Let's see what we got here. Yeah. I like that.
Oh,
you hear that, Pimp C?
Oh,
yeah. That's what I like. I love y'all. We'll see you next week.